Oh, you're awesome, God. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the fantastic church, the best church in town. Amen. Go ahead. It's your church. Enjoy it. May the Lord bless you. May be seated. Wow. What a service. We had dinner with Pastor McGuire, and he said, man, there's just something in the air. But, you know, all pastors, they want to say that, but wow. This is awesome. Amen. What I feel today, people say, well, you feel the same thing here, you feel everywhere. That's a bunch of hooey. I travel enough. That's not the truth. And so it's great to be with you to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Take a moment to say thank you to everybody. They say that, well, let me just put it this way. Last night we was in the McGuire's home last evening. And I think about every 5 minutes, Sister McGuire, can I get you something? Can I get you something? And from the moment I walked in the door, there was a little girl. That one there. Love you, girl. She met me at the door, opened doors, wanted to help, and it's not stopped. I could leave here with a case of water if I wanted to. I wouldn't have to buy water for the next couple weeks. But thank you for your hospitality, and thank you for all that you have done for the country of Haiti. Amen? Today you're going to see your church in action, and you'll see Grace Point, and I just want to take a moment to say thank you for being a part. Thank you for trusting us, and thank you for loving us. And I know you had the privilege of meeting the Roach family, and they're at y'all's church today, and they're there actually every Sunday, but truly we want to take a moment to thank you for all that you have done for the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. I believe if God didn't want us to do something for him when he filled us with his spirit, he'd kill us or something. Get us out of here. But no, we're here to do something for God. Amen? I want to do what God wants me to do. How about that? I want to be a vessel in his hands today. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. Thank you, Sister McGuire and the church. May God continue to bless you. I'm very privileged today to have my wife with me. I am the luckiest guy in the world. For a fat, ugly man to get a beautiful wife, it's nothing short of a miracle. Young guys, I give you hope. Miracles do happen. So if you're single, guess what? It can still happen. It's not too late. An ugly guy can get a beautiful wife.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord. I appreciate his goodness and his mercy. As we were singing that song just a few minutes ago, I actually got my camera out and took a picture of the words while they were on the screen. I believe that song we just sang sums up the gospel. He thought I was worth saving, so he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping, so he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for, so he sacrificed his life so I could be free, so I could be whole. And here's the gospel, so that I could tell everyone that I know. It's not just about us feeling good. It's about making sure that somebody else knows how to feel good too. I am so thankful. He is a life changer. In Haiti, we sing a song. It says, Gaye pouvoir au nom de Jésus. Gaye pouvoir au nom de Jésus. Poucrase touchant, poucrase touchant, poucrase touchant. You probably sing it in English. It says, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. I'm so thankful. He breaks the chains. He cleans us up inside. He died for us, and he makes a difference in our life. And I'm really not supposed to talk that much. Oops. Sorry about that. Too late. There are some things that I am supposed to do. Maybe I just felt a little liberty because there's a couple things I usually do that I don't have to do today. But one, first things first, I want to say thank you. And I know everybody thanks the pastor, but I know that there's a neck that turns the head. So I always give my thank you gifts to the pastor's wife, because when somebody said they want me to have a missionary again, the pastor's wife didn't say, oh, no, no, not the Bryans again. So I am supposed to talk a little bit about the things out on the table. I have those coffee cups, and you can purchase them from me today if you want. I have some T-shirts that say, isn't Haiti beautiful? That's right. Haiti is beautiful. I hope you're convinced of that before the day is over. I have a collection of different photographs that I have in little cardboard frames. If you would like to thumb through those and pick out, I have some of people and I have some of just the beautiful sights and scenery of Haiti. So stop by and see me and pick up one of those if you want. But I also want you, all those cost, but these are free. Because I really, really want you to pick up either both of these or at least one of these, because these are supposed to remind you to pray for us. I got refrigerator magnets because I know that everybody goes to your refrigerator at least once a day. Is that a true story? So if I'm sticking on your refrigerator, you will remember to pray for us. We also have some prayer cards. These prayer cards list out several of the ministries that we're involved with, the children's home, the medical clinic, crusades, church buildings, playground ministry, education, English school, and our Bible school. So I list them out there so that you can pray specifically for those ministries. I know that this church has been so involved, and I really cannot say thank you enough for everything that you've done. Normally, the things that I normally do that I don't have to do with this with Grace Point is I usually have a PIM form sitting here, and I have to tell the pastor I would like you to fill out a partner. And then I have a project form for you to take up an offering for a project. But we barely got your last project money spent, so I don't feel like I should be up here asking for projects and PIM. So I just need to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. I think when you see the presentation today, you will see when we're talking about one of the churches that we opened this year. That is Grace Point United Pentecostal Church in Haiti. I hope that Sister McGuire shared on you all's Facebook page and you saw, just since we've been home on deputation just last week, I think, we got a video from the Roach family of service at Grace Point United Pentecostal Church in Haiti. And the place was full, people. I mean, It looked so good. It just looked so good. Thank you for not only providing them a place to worship, but a beautiful place to worship. You went the extra mile. That's what that last little bit of money was that we just got done spending, because you went the extra mile and made it a beautiful place for them to worship. And the community there is ready for Jesus. And I'm appreciate everything that you've done, and I hope that today when you see the presentation that you're convinced that Jesus makes Haiti even more beautiful every time he fills somebody with the Holy Ghost. What? Oh. Oops. See, I'm supposed to have props so that I remember everything I'm supposed to say and do, and I didn't have something, so I am supposed to talk about a little girl. There she is. Her name is Shekinah. When we started working with orphanages, it was because a little boy, two houses down from where we live, starved to death. And the realization that poverty was that real in Haiti really hit us hard, to think that just two doors from where I lived, a little boy died and did not ever hear me say, Jesus loves you and he can make a difference in your life. So we purposed at that point, within 5 miles of where we lived, We would not let a child starve to death in an orphanage if we could at all possibly help it. So in the process of doing that, visiting those orphanages, we met Shekina. And as you can tell in this picture, she was very near starving. And I just couldn't lean down and say, Jesus loves you, and then walk away and not do anything for her. So we started treating her in our medical clinic. We took her to our medical clinic, and we started treating her. We gave her some really strong antibiotics, and we started giving her special drinks every day. And so if you go to the next picture, that's the same little girl 8 months later. Jesus is a life changer. And I believe that now when I tell her Jesus loves you and he can make a difference in your life, I know that she knows that's real.
Again, we say thank you. We could not do what we do without you and great people like you. So today is just a time of saying thank you. May God bless you. At this point, we're going to show you what's been going on in Haiti for those last 4 years.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you very much for all that you have done. Grace Point, you're awesome. I would also like to take a moment to thank the men's ministry of Florida, which your pastor is over. Amen. They got on the bandwagon and took up our first building at the site and the Florida House and raise that money, but it hasn't stopped there. The men's ministry has continued. I got a call from Jerry Dean, and different men's ministries have taken up right at 100,000 coming in the next few months. So I say thank you, Brother McGuire, and to the men's ministry also. Couldn't do it without you. I wonder if you would stand. I realize I didn't ask Pastor what time church got out, but I do have another church I'm supposed to be at shortly. 3 hours down the road, so I hope that I don't get a speeding ticket. My son is a police officer, and he is new, and they're trying to train him, and they're trying to train him mean, and he's not, but they had him pull over a 70-year-old grandma for going 3 miles an hour over. They end up arresting her. True story. They arrested her for an outstanding warrant. 25-year-old warrant finally caught up. Sin will catch you, folks. And don't speed through it. So, this is going to be a fun service. Psalms 100. Hey, man, as you're turning to it, enjoyed the lesson Brother Jared taught this morning. I was thinking he talked about him being a non-runner. I had a doctor's appointment one time, and there were some issues, and the doctor said, you know, the issue you have, 1 in 100 people have them, but if you take 100 marathon runners, all of them will have the same issue. And he says, are you a marathon runner? I think I want a second opinion. If you don't know that I'm not a marathon runner, I don't need to be here. That was funny. I liked it. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We're nothing but a glorified mud ball. Without God, you're not even glorified. We're just a mud ball. He's the one who makes a difference in my life. He's the one who changes me and makes me what I am. And I've got a right to praise him. Sermon number one finished. Going to sermon number two. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is. I said, for the Lord is. Now they tell me in the English language, before you massacre, you have to know it. So In correct terminology, we should say, God is good. But down south, when we get a little excited, somebody will holler out, ain't God good? The next few moments, I want to talk to you on the subject, ain't God good? Shake somebody's hand before your seat. Welcome them to the house of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You may be seated. I realize today that we are in a missionary service, and I do know that I am a missionary to the country of Haiti, but I still want to talk about God being good. I realize that Haiti is a place of poverty. I was talking with our brother before service about how when you land in Haiti, you can feel the oppression and in my experience, just a weird feeling from the minute you land, but yet I am here today to talk to you about God being good. I realize that it is a place that we have been hit by natural disasters, one right after another, and it seems like every time we're not even recovered, we get slammed with another one, but yet I want to talk to you tonight about God being good. We've been hit with earthquakes and hurricanes, and we are a place of political unrest, and we have been, matter of fact, right now we are in the process, or they are in the process, of trying to get the president out, but yet we're here to talk about God being good. That is because it doesn't matter what's going on around me, God is still good. Let me say that again. I may not have two dimes to rub back to back. I may be here sick in my body, but God is still good. I don't know how it's all going to play out in your life, but I know that I serve a good God, and that God is here today. Well, y'all aren't going to let me take it a day off, are you? Y'all are with me. Our first glimpse of God is Genesis chapter 1. Before Genesis chapter 1, we know little to nothing about God. Nothing. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that it was the first attribute that we find about God is that he is good and what he does is good. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, seven times in verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, 18, 21, 25, and 31 all say that God is good. Now, I have a very vivid imagination. I dream. They say if you can dream and you can make it reality, you're not dreaming big enough. I don't have that problem, okay? Everything I do is pretty good size. The rest of them will wake up in a little bit and laugh. I can picture God stepping up to the portals of heaven, you know, in my mind. This isn't Bible. This is in my mind, okay? God steps up to the portals of heaven one day and he says, you know what I think? I think I'm going to create something. And so God steps up to the edge of heaven and he says, let there be light. That's my God voice. How's that? He says, let there be light. And all of a sudden, bam, light appears. And God just looked back. He says, man, I did a pretty good job. I must say so myself. There's nobody else, so it's pretty good. And he, you know, well, I can't pat myself on the back too good, you know. God is a good God. The Bible says that he's the same. Y'all want the mic? Y'all don't even need me here today. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if God was good in Genesis chapter 1, I want you to know on this Sunday morning, God is still a good God. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care about the problems in your life. God is still good. And everything he does is good. God doesn't change. From the beginning of time, he was good. The fact that we are here today, the fact that we are not sitting on the street corner, our mind blown out on drugs, the fact that we are here today means that there's a good God in heaven that died on Calvary for me. I said the fact that there's a good God and I'm able to sit in his presence and sing songs and praise him means that there's a good God. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Oh, wretched man. Without a good God, you're looking at a nothing. Without a good God in heaven, you're looking at someone that's drunk, that's just lost, but it's only because of a good God that I'm able to be here to worship him. You saw that we have opened an English school. Matter of fact, some of the numbers, we've only been traveling now for 2 months. The numbers are already outdated. I'm sorry, I just can't make a new presentation every week. The Bible school, we says there's 80. Well, now there's over 100 in our Bible college. It says there's 100 in our English school. Well, there's 150 now in our English school. My wife she's one of the teachers. People ask if she's qualified to teach English. Well, she's been speaking English for about 56 years, so. I was getting ready to do a marriage seminar for our friend, Brother Barrick. I was telling my daughter, and her friend was sitting there, and we were going to go to a marriage seminar. And my daughter looked, and she said, "Are you qualified for that?" Her friend looked there and said, "They've been married 35 years. That's longer than anyone I know." So, yeah, she's been speaking English for about 55 years. I think she's qualified. So she got her first class. She wanted to find out where they was in their English language because she was teaching the advanced class. So they went around and she had them talk about who they was and what they was doing. And it came time for one of the young men. And he stood up, put a picture of the thug up. He's our neighborhood gangster. Name is Cius. Cius stands up. Now mind you, I'm sure this guy has stolen from me. I'm quite confident. He comes and he stands up. He says, "I want you to know I'm not a Christian. I don't go to church. I don't want to be and don't want to go." And sit down. "Okay, Cius." Well, my wife just began her class, and about three quarters of the way through the session, one of the classes was they had to stand up and ask another student a question. Of course, this is all in English. It's an English class. And came the thug's time to stand up, and he stands up, and he says, "My question is for my teacher." And she said, "Okay, what is it?" He says, "I like to party. I like to do things, and everyone I like to hang around does the same thing, but what if I wanted, what if I wanted to make a change? How do I go about doing that?" He said, "Well," my wife said, "probably what I'd do is that first off, I'd find somebody that I really had faith in, and I would start hanging around them a little bit and everything." And a couple days later, I was driving down the road, and I found Brother Gangster walking down the road with one of my Bible school students. I'm thinking, all right. I rolled down the window, and I looked at him, and I said, "Pastor Cius, how you doing?" Everyone looked at him, and they started laughing. It wasn't but 2 months later. Let me show you what happened to Cius. Cius was baptized in Jesus' name. It gets better. Show the next slide. Cius is part of the Bible college, preparing to be a minister. Don't tell me God's not a good God. Don't tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. I serve a good God. If you're here today, there's a good God that loves you. He wants to do something and change your life. He's good. God is a good God. And He loves me. When we decided that we was going to go to Haiti, we went to School of Missions. We had our appointment changed from Trinidad and Tobago and Curacao to Haiti. And after they changed our appointment, I went out and told all the other missionaries, guess what, we're going to Haiti. And they looked at me like I was crazy. They did. I had people come and said, you have made a big mistake. You don't want to go there. I'm thinking, well, what if God, you know, no, you don't. You don't want to do that. Well, we went. We got there. We wasn't there less than a month, and our home got broken into. They cleaned us out. They took anything that wasn't in the room that I was at home. We was in our bedroom. They took it all. Sheets off bed. They cleaned out our refrigerator, folks. My wife had made me homemade pizza that night. Okay? This is gross to some of the older people. The teenagers will like this. But I, too, like cold pizza. Even in the morning. So this homemade pizza was in the fridge preparing to be sacrificed for me the next morning. They came and they stole my pizza. Don't mess with a man's cold pizza now. Fighting words. They stole our vehicle. The only thing they didn't take was my Bible that was in the car. They had the fear of God. They took my Bible out and set it next to the wall. Thank God for honest thieves. I'm thinking, okay, God, if you call me here, where are you at? If you're so good, you could have stopped this. I'm thinking, okay, it doesn't get much worse than this. Well, it did. Driving down the road. Now, we want y'all to come back. We love you. Come back, please. Driving down the road, a carload of guys came and passed us, jumped out. There's a couple cars. They opened me with machine guns. I'm thinking, okay, God, been through that one, shot at, check. I got that one off the list. Thank God I lived through that, you know. That's good enough. No, shot out about three more times. He's close to me to y'all. Boom. Not pretty, not fun. God put an armor up between us. You heard the bullets ricocheting. Amazing. I don't want to try it again. Okay, God, it's time for you to step up if you're so good. Then they came. We had four armed men come to our national headquarters they wanted to kidnap me and my wife. They parked at the back of the headquarters complex. We have like a 10-foot wall all the way around the complex. Now, I did not tell you these were smart guys, okay? I don't know how they plan on getting me over a 10-foot wall without a crane. Not too smart, boys. They came and they held our yard guy at gunpoint for almost an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. I'm thinking, God, I didn't sign up for this. Then we had the kidnapping attempt, or the earthquake happened, and 250,000 people died in Haiti. And I was way, way past what I thought I could handle. I'll be honest with y'all. You're looking at a missionary that was ready to quit. I had my resignation letter written. I was ready to go. God, you said that you would always be here. But what I didn't realize is that God was just putting everything in a line. God began to put people in my life like you. God began to open doors that I never dreamed that God would open. God began, we began the feeding program where we was feeding hundreds of children every day. In my wildest dream, I could never imagine that we would be building churches like we're building. Never dreamed in my wildest thoughts that we would be have a children's home, have clinics, and have things going on. But it's only because there's a good God. When I was about ready to quit, God said, no. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. I believe on this Sunday morning there's somebody here that maybe you're at the end of your rope, but God says, just hold on a little bit longer. I know what I'm doing. I'm still good. Just trust me. We have a church in Haiti called Grace Point. It's located next to our children's home. I got ready to, a little bit before I was coming home to start traveling, I went to preach at Grace Point for the last time before I came home. And so after the message, I had the altar call. And my kids came up around the front. One of the young men in our children's home is called Wilson. Wilson came from a bad situation. That morning, Wilson came up to the front, and I went and I prayed for Wilson. And I want to show you what happened that morning as Wilson began to pray at Grace Point. Wilson begins to speak in another language. God fills Wilson with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What happened? There was a good God that knew Wilson a long time ago when I was about ready to quit, when I was about ready to throw in the towel. God said, no, there's Wilson, and Wilson needs to be filled with my spirit. God knows what he's doing. He's a good God. God knows what he's doing in your life. You may not know the outcome, but God says, I'm good. I'm good. I got ready to leave. Went by to say goodbye. We now call him Pastor Wilson. Little 10-year-old boy already leading service. Unbelievable. Pastor Wilson came up to me. I was saying goodbye. He said, Papa, I have something I want to give you. And Pastor Wilson gave me his tie. I love my tie. It's not too small. My belly's too big. Wouldn't trade this for $1,000. Don't tempt me with 10. I want you to know on this Sunday morning, God is still good. I wish that I could tell you how it's all going to work out, Brother McGuire, but I can't. I wish I could look at you and have all the answers for your life. But I can't. But I've got good news for you. There's a God in heaven that's so good. There's a good God in heaven that loves me and he loves you. And he just wants us to know today that he's there for us. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake you. Sometimes it looks like our families are. God says, hold on. Could we stand? Today, a simple message. He just wants you to know that he's good and he loves you. We've all been there. Sometimes our children are going different ways and we think, God, help me. God, if you're so good, you were supposed to protect them. I wonder today if we could just all come around the front. If you're a guest here, I invite you to come. And I promise you I'm not going to embarrass nobody, okay? I just want to leave in front because I just want to take a few minutes. I wonder if we could lift our hands this morning and just acknowledge His goodness. The fact that you're here today. The fact that we are able to lift our hands in the presence of an almighty King means that there's a good God. Why don't you begin to lift your voice as they began to play and sing? God, thank you. God, when I was at the end of my rope, God, you was there for me. God, I pray today for everyone that's here. God, I pray that you would give them strength today, oh God. Lord, let your healing virtue flow through this place, oh God. As they begin to lift your voice right now, I feel the presence of the King amongst us.